Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me now, won't you, and journey to a place where you can truly be yourself, because the radio doesn't have eyes. Well, mine has eyes because I've made it look like a little robot by gluing ping pong balls onto it. And I also made little hands that come out from the side. I made them from rubber bands and popsicle sticks. Look at you, little radio robot. It's your friend. And so am I.
Hey, you guys remember my grandma's jam?
Yeah, doesn't it go like this?
Yeah, very funny. Okay, I get it. Butchie, enough. Anyway, you remember my grandma's preserves?
Yeah, the ones you try to recreate every morning by combining five different jams?
Exactly. Well, I don't have to do that anymore because she sent me the recipe and I made some. Here, try it.
Wow, that's really good.
That is good. You should sell it.
Butchie, not everything has to be sold.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to make money from it.
No, because you like your job at the boondocks so much.
The loading docks. But maybe you're right. It would be nice to not have to pick up boxes for a living. Do you think anybody would buy it?
Of course. You'll still be picking up boxes, but you'll make $1 million.
Lou, don't listen to Butchie. It's very hard to start a business like that, and especially a food product.
Yeah, if something's hard, don't do it.
All I'm saying is, why not just enjoy your grandma's recipe? Maybe share it with friends.
You love not getting paid. Listen, we can't live off his loading dock job salary forever. At some point, he'll be a cripple. Then what do we do?
These are good points, Butchie. But even if I wanted to sell grandma's jam, I don't know the first thing about it. Like, how do you get a barcode on the label?
You're getting way ahead of yourself. Listen, I got a pal who can take your idea, make it a product, market it, distribute it all so fast you won't even realize it was ever your idea.
Can you set me up?
Oh, this doesn't sound good.
You stay out of this, Peter Kropotkin. I'll show you how capitalism works.
Okay.
My buddy's name is Bill Sargko. I'll give him a call and he'll be right over.
All right. It's ringing. Hey, Bill, it's Butch.
Yeah, man, I got a pigeon, a friend here who has a product he wants to sell, and it's actually really good. Yeah, he needs your help. So if you could...
I'll get it.
So if you could just come over and... Oh!
Where's the young man with the idea?
That was fast.
There's no flies on Bill. In fact, I'm leasing them to a fly circus.
Well, listen, my friend here made some of his grandma's jam, and it's really good. He wants to sell it, maybe. Here, have a taste.
No need. No need. I trust you boys. And it doesn't matter if it's made from fly circus and navel jelly. I can sell anything. Now, tell me about your product, and I'll help you set up a plan.
Well, it's my grandma's jam.
First, we need a catchy name. A name is the most important thing.
Oh, that's a bad sign.
Well, we call it Mama Brigitte's Loquat Ugly Fruit Jam with tamarind. That's the secret ingredient.
No, 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 that won't do at all.
But that's its name, or just Low Ugly Jam for short.
No, it has to sing. It has to make the customer think it's ambrosia that will solve all their problems and give them vitality and beauty.
It's for your toast.
You're thinking too small, my boy. It's for the very fate of your soul.
Well, it's all natural, so how about calling it Nature Preserve?
Butchie, a nature preserve is where they have wild animals.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Tell me about your granny.
Well, she's from the islands.
The islands! Irie, mon, we be jammin'.
Oh, no, 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 it's not Jamaica. Oh, Lord.
We live in Kentucky, so how about Kentucky jelly?
Oh, gee, I never heard that one before.
Shut up, it's funny.
I like the island angle. What else do we know about Granny?
Well, she's really sweet and wise, and she helps people a lot because she's a mambo.
A what?
She's a voodoo mambo.
Voodoo! Voodoo jelly! It's magically, devilishly good.
Oh, no, 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 no. None of that bigoted misinformation about her tradition. I'm tired of the stereotypes from people who don't know anything about traditional religions. She helps people. She's like a psychologist, a healer, a friend, a guide. It's not some devil magic. That's so offensive. Maybe I don't want to do this.
Wait. We can work around it. A name will come in due time. What's important is that we are selling a feeling. And the first step to selling a feeling is to sign a contract.
But I'm not even sure I want to do this.
Not sure? Did you hear that, everyone? She's not sure.
I heard that.
I understand. Why help strangers?
What?
Why help poor, unfortunate, lost strangers fill a need or find peace of mind by sharing your gift and your saintly grandmother's beautiful legacy?
Well, I didn't mean it that way.
No, I understand. Every man for himself, right? You go ahead and hoard your gift. The rest of the world will limp along without it.
I don't want to seem selfish.
Lou, this is not good.
And who is this here?
Oh, that's Hardy. He's anti-money.
I'm not anti-money. Well,
look, sometimes your friends don't know what's best for you. Sometimes they're jealous even and don't want you to succeed, to realize your dreams are both changing and helping the world and gaining more resources so you can take care of your friends and family. They don't see the long game like you and I.
Yeah, all right. Well, where do I sign?
Right here under the picture of the lollipop. Then you just hand the recipe over to me, and in a few months, the checks will start rolling in.
All right.
Six months later.
Package for Lou Register.
Oh, that's me.
Sign here, please.
Okay, thanks.
I like your dog.
Thanks.
What dog?
Oh, man, it talks.
Go to hell.
Butchie, he thought you were a dog.
It's the hat.
What's that?
It's a case of my grandma's jam. Mr. Sarchko said it hits the market tomorrow.
Well, open it up.
Here, use my knife.
Jeez, Butchie.
Oh, it's my grandfather's. It's for stabbing guys.
Oh, no. Voodoo jamming. Spread the magic.
Oh, no.
Looks good. I told you he knew what he was doing.
I told him this was offensive. This is not who we are.
Lighten up. To sell stuff, you have to lie a little. Otherwise, you can't convince people to spend their hard-earned money on crap.
My grandma's jam isn't crap.
I know, but there's lots of other jams out there. You gotta stand out and pretend you're special.
But she is special, and so is her jam.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Lou.
Why didn't you warn me, Hardy?
Okay.
Well, you've learned a valuable lesson today.
Thanks, Butchie. You're no help.
Exactly.
Well, I'm not sure there's much we can do. You signed a contract.
This is a disaster, Hardy.
Well, there's one upside.
What's that?
I switched the recipes.
You what?
I gave him a bogus recipe. I figured he'd give you a check up front and try to cheat you, so I gave him a bogus recipe.
Good thinking, Butchie.
So unless people like a jam made from toothpaste, cilantro, and marzipan, the joke's on Bill.
Well, then let's just put all this behind us.
Or under us. Give me the crate. I'm going to use it as a booster seat.
Oh, my friends, I'm so glad you're here. I need some help getting dressed. Oh, no, it's not what you think. I'm perfectly abled. I'm just overly self-conscious. I was thinking of hiring a PR agent to help me get dressed in the morning, but I can't afford one, so I'm glad you're here. So help me out. What about this hat? I'm thinking this one makes me look like Charles Ives, and this one makes me look like Eric Satie. Either way, I'm conveying that I want to look like a avant-garde composer. You say, well, you're not one. Yeah, but I think people would like me better if I were. Well, why do you care about that? Well, I want to be loved and accepted. And as we know, appearances matter. Packaging counts. So I want to make sure that I'm conveying the right message that will make people like me. And if I put a lot of effort into that, then the only effort I have to put in is relentlessly suppressing the real me so that that doesn't get out and I'm not rejected. Oh, my goodness, don't we spend so much time doing that? Don't we all want to be loved? Some of us do. Some of us want to be, I guess, maybe feared or loathed, but that's still a way of projecting something. If we all had labels, you know, they've got label makers, and we could have real ones. I used to have one of them Dymo label makers. Oh, those were wonderful. So you'd have the tape, you know, that plastic tape, and then you dial H, E, and after about a year, you could make something that said Hardy White, and then you'd have a label to put on something. I don't know what you'd put on it. I had an elderly relative that would label everything in the house, the switches, on, off, and just went nuts with it. And you always easy to shop for. Let's get Uncle Harold a roll of Dymo tape. But, you know, those labels, they help us identify things. But do they really help us be liked or loved? Well, yes, I guess it works. Everything is advertising, isn't it? You're soaking in it. That's advertising. I remember I've used that analogy so much now. That had such a profound effect on me, that advertisement when I was a child. It'd be a lady was sitting there with her hand in some green stuff, and I assumed it was some kind of Star Trek living goo. That was some kind of algae being, but it's not that. It was dishwashing liquid, but I think she thought she was at a nail salon. I don't even know what was going on, really. And the lady said, "Wow, I'm like my hands, you've submerged my hand in this viscous green stuff. What is it?" And it says, "Well, it's dishwashing liquid." And the lady says, "Well," and we drew her hand really quickly, and with that, splattered the soap in the eyes of the cosmetologist, who screamed, "Ah! My eyes, dishwashing liquid, my eyes are soaking in it," like that, and that stuck. That advertising thing stuck. And I guess what it was saying is that this soap will actually make you beautiful. Now, I don't know whether the absurdity of that really sunk in with people, but the expression "you're soaking in it" has really stuck. And that is so telling. Advertising. You're soaking in it. It's a religion. Oh, advertising religion. I find it exhausting. Because I do want to be loved, but boy, you got to put a lot of effort into it. When I get dressed in the morning, that's exactly what I think. Should I wear this suit? And we say things like, "What does this suit say?" And my suit says a bunch of things. First of all, the pants say, "You should clean your bottom," like that. Or the jacket says, "There are permanent stains in the armpit." I know. That's why I don't go to thrift shops a lot, because that's a beautiful suit. Look at it. You get it home and, oh, it's got all sorts of stains in it, especially if somebody passed away in it. So, oh, the fella must have died in it. Bless his heart. And people do that. So, oh, I've got to get rid of all of Papa's clothes. I guess somebody will want them. And here's a suit he died in. And then they bury you in a suit. What a waste. Is it your best one? A lot of people will have a special burial gown. And that's a nice thing. It's just a simple cotton frock or something. You say, "Bury me in that. Don't waste a suit. That's a waste. Take off all my jewelry." Also, grave robbers. There's that, you know. We still rob graves to this day. But if you've been dead a certain amount of time, it's called archaeology. I'll put it in a museum, or I'll dig up the corpse. I have gone to museums and seen folks' corpses, but a lot of times they're mummified. If you're lucky enough to be a mummy, then your body gets to be objectified, and we get to stare at it. Ooh, why? I'm so fascinated by it, because it's memento mori. But I think sometimes it has the opposite. What's memento mori? Remember you die. But I think sometimes it has the opposite effect. You look at it and you go, "Ooh, I'm not that mummy. I have nothing in common with the dead, do I? Look how much the dead look like us. That must be a coincidence." You never think that's going to be you. I guess you've got to block that out to a certain extent. But they even have to advertise that. "Hey, come and see the mummies of the past." They make it sound like if they just said, "We've got a pile of dead, rotten corpses." Okay. Yeah, nobody would come. So people have to make stuff seem appealing, just like we have to make ourselves seem appealing. And I think it starts with, gosh, it starts with a good hat. A hat can say a lot of things. It used to say, hey, I'm covering my head. Back in the early times, people, orangutans, used to take those big banana leaves or whatever and say, oh, I'm going to make a hat out of it. They still do that. If you're unfortunate enough to have a zoo near you, you could see some of the captives make what they can out of, you know, oh, I'll make a hat out of this. I'd rather be, at least people are looking at me. That's what they say. That's what a lot of them say in there. What, and leave show business? So we want to live in a zoo, a lot of us now. We're volunteering to be in a zoo. So on social media, look at me. And you advertise, spend a lot of time taking the pics. What's my best angle? Like that. What's best? I look good in two dimensions. I look better like that. I can control what people see about me. Doesn't that get frustrating? Trying to control what people see about you? Yes, but the alternative is no one will like me. No, the alternative is not everybody will like you or people that don't know you. But I tell you, if you're trying to put on a face that if that face falls off, that people won't like you, then who are you trying to impress? The shallow. Let's take it a step further. Are you shallow? Does it matter to you what people look like? Yes. All right, great. Let's start with us then. I went hat shopping not long ago, and I went into a hat store. I like hats because, again, I am soaking in it. I'm firmly of the belief that people judge me by my appearance, and I want to control that because I really want them to think things about me. Here's the thing I want people to think about me. I'm clever. Oh, I'm smart. Handsome, that's wearing off a little bit as I get older. Oh, what's the point? Who cares? Even if they do think I'm handsome. But clever, wise is a good one. I'd like to be thought to know more than I do generally. Maybe a little bit, still I'm young enough where I think I want people to be slightly, not intimidated, but think I'm strong, maybe. Look at me. I could get into a cage match. If I was in a cage match with, let's say, I can't think of any creature I could actually defeat. Somebody, some very frail person with their back turned or something. I can't think of any creature. I was going to say a squirrel, but I don't want to get in a cage with a squirrel. I think that would be awful. There's no bird I could fight, I think, effectively. They'd go right for my eyes. So it's all appearances. But starting with a good hat. You know, and a hat says a lot of things. To some people it says, oh, I'm a D-bag or something. I think a lot of people are offended by hats. So you're trying to look like something. Your granddad or something. But I still like them. All right, because I'm not so enlightened that I could just go around wearing a banana leaf on my head. So I walked into a hat shop, and I'm not going to tell you where in New Orleans, but I thought, I want a night of fancy hat. So I said, hello, dear hat monger. I tried to feel like I fit in. I have to pretend I have more money than I have because people don't pay as much attention to you. If you're poor and you walk in there, they go, we got nothing to say to you. So I walked into there and I said, yes, dear sir, as you can see, I'm dressed down today in this costume because I don't want people to think I'm wealthy. Perhaps they will take advantage of me. But normally I would wear a rich man's hat. Oh, not that. Those are not my price range, but boy, some of them are expensive. So just finding one you can afford, is something. But then they started putting hats on me. I said, do you know your hat size? And I go, yes, I think it's size normal. So they brought me out all the normal men's hat sizes, and they're all too big. And it just kept getting smaller and smaller. And I thought, oh, what's wrong with my head? And they started looking at me like, you know, are you sure that's a head? And not, you know, some kind of like a softball or something. No. And they said, well, I've got some here I normally reserve for Gibbons, but maybe they'll fit you. And they literally had to go down to like infant sizes to fit my head. I like to think of it as diminutive, but my head's very small. And Lord, I hope there's brains in it. I always think, well, my brains are very dense. I've been called dense before.
So perhaps that's it. So they brought me out a hat, and the hat was a little fancier. You know what it looked like, the hat? It looked like when Sylvester McCoy was the doctor, his hat. So was that Dr. Seven? Is that number seven? Not Dr. Seven. That's from Star Trek. I am not Herbert. But the seventh doctor, his hat, that style, a straw hat, but nice, you know? So I put that on, and I was feeling very fancy and much more poor because it was a little more expensive than I thought. And so I gladly paid for it because I didn't want this perfect stranger who clearly already didn't like me, to think that I was really had a limited resources, which I did. So it's so funny how you want to impress people you don't even like and that already don't like you, but that's what happened. So I walked out of the store, and the first thing that happened is a person, I think like a homeless street person, was kind of out there yelling things and saw me and started yelling insults at me and said that I was a bunch of curse words for shopping in that hat shop in which he wasn't welcome. And I thought, thank you. You're an angel. I knew it was. I can always tell. Like, oh, there we go again. I knew it. It's a spirit telling me the truth. And I got to walk around here like a fool now, wearing an expensive hat with a ratty old T-shirt, just looking like a doofus. And I kept the hat on because I wanted to punish myself. But I wasn't really conveying what I wanted to convey, which is, oh, strangers, please judge me. It's like asking to be judged. I think today I'm going to go volunteer to go to a courtroom and sit there and have a panel of people, so-called peers, look at me and go, oh, this guy, and be voluntarily judged. Maybe have them pick apart some. People go on TV and do that all the time, don't they? I'm going to subject myself to being judged by strangers. Yes, look at you. Your head's too small. All right, at least I'm getting attention. I love it. Oh, please insult me more. And we'll do anything for that attention and love. Oh, love is so precious. We want it everywhere, everything. We're going to get love out of everything, even if it doesn't have any love in it. It's like juice. A friend was telling me the other day they were on various juice diets. They were juicing. They got a juicer. I go, oh, you mean a dietary fiber remover? It's like, yeah, but the juice, everything, and different things have different amounts of juice. Obviously, an orange has lots of juice, right? And some things have less juice, but doesn't mean they don't have juice. The more I say that word, that's one of those words that, oh, I say it a lot of times, stoned, and it doesn't sound right. Shush. Oh, I remember listening to Larry King when he was on the radio, and he used to be sponsored by Florida Orange Juice. And he'd say, Florida Orange Juice. I go, what? Florida Orange Juice. I go, I don't know what you're saying, man, but I'll go buy it because you're saying it. But some things don't have as much juice in them. Like, she was saying she had to have ginger juice. I go, ginger? Man, how do you get the juice out of ginger? And she goes, well, you know, it's tedious. You got to grind it up, and then you got to squeeze it in cheesecloth and everything. You know what I've used cheesecloth for? Everything but cheese, I think. That might not be right. I might have made paneer one time. You ever made paneer, Indian fresh cheese? Go make it right now. I'll wait. I'll come back. So I think it's like love. I got to have love everywhere, even if it's ginger juice. Even if you don't have, if that thing doesn't have love in it, I want to be judged even by those that I don't respect. Why don't you respect them? Well, look at they're wearing that ratty old T-shirt. Oh, my goodness. I mean, is it human or is it our culture? I mean, is that the same thing? Is it that we can't stop evaluating other people? We can't stop being ourselves, or who are we, or what is our mask? And I don't even know. I don't know who I am, so it's hard to know if I'm being phony or not. But I know that I'm self-conscious about what I show the world, and I don't want to show them everything
because I know, and it's accurate. You will be judged, and you can be rejected. And I see it online all the time. People, they get a little bit confident, and so they start throwing out opinions. Now, everybody has opinions, and we're not even sure of them, right? Because everybody's in transition. You believe one thing. Oh, I cringe about the things I used to believe or say out loud, or when you know, just years ago. And now I think, oh, that was so stupid. That was so offensive. That was so unenlightened. How could I have been so blind? And every day you hope your eyes open up a little bit more and you get kind of ashamed and you think, oh, my, what are the crazy things I believe now? But sometimes you feel comfortable and you go, I'm just going to say my opinion of that book or whatever. And you do. And when you do, the floodgates open and here comes other opinions. And oh, and they can drown you and take you away. Oh, my goodness, other humans. Please be kind to me. That always works when you demand kindness from people. Please have mercy. No mercy for you. Oh, I just want to be loved. I just want to be accepted. Sometimes if you only find one person, that's enough. But boy, we're greedy. I want everybody on the street. People that I see people doing that all the time. They dress up fashionable to run. And I wonder, who's doing that? I mean, is it, you want me, a stranger who you will never even see my reaction, to think, oh, that person's fashionably dressed? Or some people running with their shirt off when they don't have to have it off, and you think, all right, look at you. I don't see, usually that's fit people. The people that are a little overweight or something trying to get in shape, they don't do that because they don't want to be judged the other way. Because people go, oh, look at that fat guy running. But see, the fat guy should be running. That's the way I think when I'm like, oh, man, I hope people don't judge me because I'm all gooey and everything. I'm out here running. But see, that's why I'm doing something. So when I see somebody out running and I think, good for you, no matter what, I say, good for you. You're getting some exercise. Good for you. Trying to be healthy. Good for you. And the older I get, I really don't care what they look like. More and more I don't. I guess because I don't want to be judged either. So just, you know, you just be yourself. That's why I think I like old people a lot. Old people and children sort of kind of are unaffected by that. You know, kids will be like, today I'm going to just dress like a princess. Okay, Robbie, that's fine. I know little boys that dress up like princesses, and that's fine. I encourage it. So what? And you want to dress in funny socks, or you want to put this fun hat on your head, or you want to put a piece of paper, just take a piece of paper and glue it to your face for no reason, have a pipe cleaner coming out of it? What's that supposed to be? I don't know. I love it. Okay. Do it. That's you. Do what's in your heart. Be creative. Oh, and then we take that and we disinfect them with self-consciousness. No, let's go. People are going, let's dress up and everything. People go to church, you know, and they want to look, they want to dress in their finest sometimes. Why? I don't know. I guess because not to impress God or whatever. I don't care. I made you naked. God sounds like Lou. Maybe a little bit. I don't know. I don't know why I did that. I am God. God has a deep voice.
I'm God.
I am God. Will the real God please stand up? Oh, forget. Oh, very good, very good. Bennett Cerf called it. All those game shows were all about appearances, too. Well, they all look like accountants, so I don't know which one is the real one. What was that called? Will the real stand up? Truth or consequences. I've got a secret. None of them got a secret. Truth or secrets. Will the real stand up? Will the real one stand up?
I am the real Adolf Hitler.
All right. I think as well. All three of them have ugly mustaches, so it's hard to tell. Let's ask them about their taste in art. Oh, my goodness. Oh, we all want love. We all want to advertise our worth. Please make me a label that goes on my face so I can't see the reaction of others. Ooh. Some people get tired of it. They get so tired they go off and live alone. Say, oh, I just want to be a hermit. I am so exhausted from this trying to keep up appearances that I just want to go, oh, I just need to rest. And some people just retreat into their houses, say, I can't do it. I don't have the money to have these kind of clothes. And then the clothes change all the time. So you buy something in the 70s or something, I need, everybody's got these flared trousers with a tight butt. I'm going to get the snug butt flared trousers. Isn't that funny, though, in the 70s, you get the pants are real tight on your butt, where you need them not to be tight, or on your privates, and then they're real loose on your ankles, where you can stand a little tightness, right? I wear socks, that doesn't bother me. But, you know, I don't want a sock on my Gerumenswaben, right? Like, so, I would like them to be baggy up top, and then get gathered on the, like, kung fu pants or something. Anyway, so you buy those then, you think, I'm looking good, right? I'm going to get some platform shoes so I appear taller than I really am. And then, you know, strutting around, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then 5 years later, you've got something on that makes you look ridiculous. And people go, and they judge you that way. You can't win. Or, you know, people do things to make themselves look good when they're clothed. So I want to look like, and look good so I can go to the club and get somebody take me home. And then, of course, it'll all, you know, once they get my clothes off, they will see the reality of my naked body and the illusion will be shattered. But by then it's too late. Is it? I don't, you know, it's crazy. And I guess that's why we also work out, you know, too. I'm going to look perfect when I'm nude. Great. Well, you know what? I'm the age now. I just look, oh, I give up. I mean, I can be healthy and not look perfect. You know, I've got all sorts of my waistal area. Is that become my waistage? Doesn't look so great, right? But really, who's looking at it? Really, the dogs, and they don't judge. My dogs roll around in duty. You know, they roll around in dead things, so they don't really care. Oh, Diogenes was right. The dog is honest. The dog don't care. Oh, can we be more like dogs? I wish. I'm so exhausted. And I know that the problem is also our economy works on that. You know, I mean, when we sell things, we got to look at the advertisements and the magazines and everything. Everything, whether it be, you know, a biscuit or a fancy house or a watch or something. They all want to sell you this illusion of being, oh, you'll be like a royalty. People will look at you and envy you. Don't you want to be envied? And envy is a sort of love, right? People will love you. It doesn't matter why. Oh, just never lose control. Oh, you can't. It's like, what is it like? It's like people say, like, wrangling cats or something. But it's like wrangling the wind. It's like trying to round up wind molecules or something. Oh, you're going to lose. You can't do it. You're just going to go crazy. That's why at least we need times when we can be ourselves. Just at least when you're with you, don't lie to yourself at least. And then you need a break. I'm not telling you can change society. You probably can't. You probably are going to have to get that special shirt that you can't afford just so somebody will give you a job. That was that. You're going for a job interview? Well, you need to go to Goodwill and get a pair of urine-stained trousers. Because otherwise, nobody, you know they're urine-stained. But rather, clean jeans are not going to do it. They would rather see you in a suit that has been disgustingly soiled. Because it's what's on the outside that counts. And they won't give you the job unless they think you're the suit-wearing type, that you care about appearances. Oh, it hurts, doesn't it? I guess you could talk to somebody and see what their values are, see what's in their heart. I think instead of wearing a shirt to an interview, you should just bring your poetry. Instead of bringing a resume, so my resume doesn't say much about me because, you know, I've had troubles during some times, you know, and I've had to get jobs that maybe don't really demonstrate my skill or something, or maybe I had a bad boss or whatever, and I got fired. So, you know, can I just tell you about
what I value or something? Can't I just be honest with you? And you think I'm not right for the job, don't give it to me, because if you give me something I'm wrong for, it's not going to work out anyway. So here are my poems. I am coming to you in just a white, kind of a white frock, the one I'm going to be buried in, my kittel, and I'm going to bring a stack of my poetry. What do you think?
Well, it's not very good poetry.
Don't judge that. Just look at the content of it. What do you think?
Well, okay, I think maybe you got the right values to sweep floors. Thanks.
I think I do, too. I'll show up. I swear I will. What will I show up in? Nothing fancy. I won't wear anything fancy, and I won't do anything like that. But a lot of times, you know, your businesses say, well, you know, a nose ring is not what we want to show the world. That is not the face of our business.
Why not? It's the face of your customer.
Oh, it's so difficult to be ourselves. You feel made to feel like you're some sort of radical or some sort of crazy person for just wanting to do things that were fashionable maybe 20 years ago.
Well, that's ancient history.
Is it? Oh, gosh. Everything gets thrown out so quickly it makes my head spin. I like to keep things around. You could conceivably have, you know, just a couple shirts and a couple pairs of pants or one frocky dress or something like that, or and keep it your whole life if it's well made. But see, that would defeat the purpose of people trying to sell you things. People, you've heard of planned obsolescence? Oh, my goodness. Everything is planned to perish before its time. Everything to make way for new stuff. And that's not just stuff. I mean, it's ideas, art movements, types of music, musical genres are meant to go bad. Why? When they could be preserved. Why? I don't understand. Why throw things away that are perfectly good? And then when you see people who recycle things, you say, look at Grandpa's pulling old bicycle wheels out of the garbage. He's making stuff out of them. He's eccentric. Is he? He's not eccentric necessarily. He's just saying, well, this is still good. Why would I make a new one? Look, I gotta torture myself less if I just, you know, recycle it and make something out of it. Oh, this urge to be new. You know, I'll tell you, the little play that we did, the little miniature theater play that my friends and I did at the beginning of this show, you can call it a skit, but that's just one letter away from scat as far as I'm concerned. It was not super original, right? What was original about it? Nothing. I think that even the story's been done before on something. And then, obviously, Phil Silvers was in it, right? Sergeant Bilko, the stereotype of a hustler, stereotype of somebody who's an opportunist. You know, nothing new in there. Why bother? You recognize that as a stock character type. In the beginning of theater, there was always that, you know? You didn't have to have a new character. Oh, that I recognize that character in pantomime. And not the kind of like, not this pantomime. I'm in a box, by the way. But I mean the kind of musical children's theater that the British, as they say. No one says that. So they have stock characters, you know, like a Scaramouche character or something like that. And everybody recognizes it, right? Oh, that's the clown. That's the fool. Oh, that one is the villain and everything. You don't have to make everything new again. You can retell the story or tell it slightly different. And it's fine. But, and now we've come to that with our endless sequels, too. We have this saying, oh, is this not only is it the same stock characters, it's the identical characters and identical story. Is that a type of recycling? I don't even know. Now it feels like I've just contradicted myself. Have I contradicted myself? Very well, then. Walt Whitman. We all do. And I don't even know what's right. Like I said, I don't know who I am, so how do I know when I'm being phony? I'm pretty sure I am, though. I'm pretty sure I am. I'm pretty sure I'm saying things to you that I want you to think I think a certain way or I'm a certain type of person. Oh, you like me?
Oh, every time I tell a story about when I was a child or something, and even if I make it sound like, you know, I'm a fool, I still think I'm trying to elicit sympathy. Maybe I'm overthinking things, but I think, well, maybe I'm trying to get you to feel sorry for me. Is that a type of love? Pity me, please. Pity me. So the other day, I'm laying in my bed, and I hear... like that, and I'm going, what is that coming from outside the window? And it was freaking me out, and I thought, there's a little tiny horse living up in that tree or something. And which is, in my world, that's perfectly, believable. Of course there's a little tiny horse. Maybe it was shrunken down by a shrinky ray or something. Maybe Butchie was fooling around in the laboratory. Or maybe we accidentally brought it back from the past. You know, early horses were very small. The horse is a wonderful way to see evolution. If you look at the ancestors of the horse, it just kept getting bigger and more horse-like. So I thought maybe it's that, you know. But then I went out one night, and I heard the noise. And I shined a light up in the tree. And... it was owls. It was screech owls. Oh, beautiful little screech owls. And they... And then I realized that there was a screech owl, I think, having a nest with a little baby screech owl in one of the holes in the tree. I have, like, the kind of tree that they make fudge cookies in, right? So it's hollow in parts. I guess it's going to fall on me pretty soon. But right now, creatures live in it. And because I feed birds... In the backyard and everything, I have a little miniature ecosystem right there with little birds and then little miniature hunters. So I look up in the tree now and I see sometimes a little owl face sticking out of the hole, right? And, oh, hello, little owl. And I love him. Oh, I love the little owls up there and I get so excited. So the other day, I was looking up there, and the little owl sticking his face out, and this blue jay comes by and starts scolding and screaming at the owl in the hole and kind of trying to peck at it and everything. And I realize that it's probably because the owl has maybe ate one of its babies, you know? And I thought, oh no. You know, the owl's thinking, oh, yes, I'm feeding my babies with your babies. Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize that. I thought, oh, this owl is a good little thing. And it is. It's just doing its thing. And, I had ascribed all sorts of virtue to it that wasn't necessarily there. The real thing was a little more complicated than that. Now, I still like the owl, but I have to understand that the owl is a little more complicated than I give it credit for, and things going on in the backyard. Now, blue jays are also can be nasty, right? So, there's no easy answers about it, and watching nature will help you understand those things. Go outside and look around. Pick things up, see how nature does it. It also has warning systems. It also has things that say, be scared of me. So, you know, maybe this is just part of evolution. Maybe we have no control over this advertising and everything. Maybe your nice brand new suit is the same sort of principle that a poisonous frog uses, or those things that have coloration on their butt that look like eyes. So when somebody's behind you, they think they're looking at you. So imagine that if you had on your butt cheeks where they had these big blotches that look like eyeballs. Look at that creature. It's looking at me. It's going to get me. It's going to eat me. No, it's just I wasn't paying attention. I'm glad my butt eyes are protecting me. And a lot of things are like that, you know, and that's how they survive. Because if you knew the real them, actually, I'm very soft and tasty. I don't want you to think I'm soft and tasty. But it must be that they go home and at least they can be vulnerable around other creatures that have butt eyes, right? That's what I'm saying.
is that maybe there could be some context, somewhere you can go and feel like you can be a little more yourself. Some of those places are deceptive because you think it's a place you can be yourself, but it's just another place where you have to be a different kind of phony, right? I'm going to this place where we all express ourselves and everything. So I'm going to let them think that I'm the best at being myself. And see, that defeats the purpose. But that's what happens. It's just so ingrained, isn't it? That's why I think maybe alone is the only place. Maybe alone is the only place. Maybe you don't. I don't care if you believe in God or whatever. But you ought to make up a something, all right? Whether it's the universe or something, make up something in your head that can't be fooled, that can't be lied to, like Butchie.
Use me.
All right, use me. And I'll say, you know, and then you can talk to it, and it'll say, you're lying, like that. And it'll bring you down to earth a little bit. So maybe some people do that when they pray. Oh, Lord, you know my heart. There's nothing I can hide from you, oh, Butchie. You know what's really going on. I got to be myself relentlessly around you. I got to be honest with you. And, you know, honesty sometimes means contradicting yourself. When you're honest, it means you're going to be inconsistent. Because what you think today, you might not think tomorrow. I realize that. Oh, I do that all the time, and I can't get it. Oh, I cringe sometimes when I think about the past. Think about things I think are failures. Think about things I wish I had done, regrets and everything. Oh,
but you said don't have regrets.
Did I? I still think that's good. I mean, I can say, you know, don't eat too much cake and still eat too much cake. Doesn't really make me a hypocrite. It just makes me, you know, I told you, you know, that it was a problem. Nothing has to be embraced. You don't have to embrace mistakes or you don't have to embrace failures. Let everything wash over you. That's what I say.
Last week you said, no, I don't know.
I don't know. Okay, let's just enjoy ourselves. Oh, today I'm going to make mistakes. Tomorrow I may regret them. But today don't make big ones. Like, don't stab anybody. That's not a big one. But you can write a poem that's awful. Or you can write a song that you like today that you might be embarrassed by tomorrow. That's okay. Those are the good kinds. So when I clap and say, do I ever listen to my past shows? No. So sometimes when you're telling me, boy, Hardy, I really like the show where you said blah, blah, blah. And I go, did I? Oh, I'm sorry. I really only remember my failures. So if I guess that was a success or something because I have no memory of it. I just move on. Why is that? It's my fear of death. I've tried my whole life to come to terms with dying. And that means letting go of some things, like your stuff and everything. It's so hard for me to lose things. I lost my great-grandfather's pocket watch. It was stolen. I was moving, and I had it in my car, and somebody broke into my car and took it. And the guilt I had, that in generations that thing had survived, and I was the one who lost it. But then I thought, well, what am I keeping it for? Everybody who cared that I had it is dead. You know, I didn't even know my great-grandfather. It was my great-great-grandfather's. Oh, God, it's still painful. I'm getting a stomach cramp thinking about it. You lost it. It wasn't even that it was worth so much, right? But I lost it. Oh, but stuff now, when I die, I can't keep track of it anyway. I'm not an Egyptian pharaoh. I'm not going to have those things with me for all eternity. I can't put them in my tomb and then rise up and use them. I'm not going to come back from the dead. I am not a member of the hand. I'm not going to walk again, I don't think. So all those going to... I've got to be able, but that doesn't mean I don't enjoy them. So I've got to be able to enjoy this thing that I love now and at the same time, let it go instantly. Is that hard? Oh, it feels absolutely impossible. It feels I have to care about you and myself, but not so much that I'm paralyzed. Not so much that I can't get dressed in the morning. Will you help me get dressed? Should I wear this shirt? Do I look good in it? I mean, I don't want to go to your house and disrespect you by looking like I didn't care what I wore. On the other hand, I don't want to care so much that I can't be myself. You see this balance problem? You see it? It's all about balance. It's all about riding some edge back and forth. Oh, it's not clear. No, it's not clear. Give me answers. I refuse to give you answers. I'll give you some. I'll give you some questions, some answers. You mix them all up. You do whatever you want with them, but I can't tell you how to be. I don't know. All I can say is keep questioning it. See, why? Why am I doing this? You can do it anyway and say why. But I think it's so important to just keep asking questions and to never not ask questions. Ooh, what are you doing, Hardy? I don't know. Grab an instrument now, Hardy. What is that? It's a violin. It's hard to play without a bow. I am with my friends. I am having fun. I won't be alive forever, but this moment we have now, I'm loving it. I don't know when it started and I don't know when it'll end. Is this the best radio show ever? It is right now, 'cause it's the one I'm doing, the one you're listening to. But I can't control what you are thinking. I can try, but it's a fool's errand.
Hey, I want you to go get me a left-handed bacon squeezer.
Oh, man, Butchie, there's no such thing. That's a fool's errand.
Well, go get me a snipe bag.
No. I think there's such a thing as a snipe. People always said snipe hunting, but then they said, well, snipe, there is a bird or something called snipe. So then, all right. Butchie sent me tripe hunting one time because he wanted to make a Christmas pudding. He said, go get me tripe. I go, all right. And I found it. Isn't that amazing? And I had to get cheesecloth. And then he said, squeeze some ginger. I won't do that. I'm not that desperate for juice. Oh, stop doing that, Hardy. My blood pressure medicine is making me trip. And you're making it worse. Okay, sorry. Oh, gosh. It's good to be with you. You know, I did some... I was excited about the Foley today, and I got to eat toast on the microphone, which is exciting. Usually I wait to eat after I'm done recording because it'll mess with my blood sugar, but I ate that toast. I wanted to eat all the toast, but I didn't because I was doing stuff, so I just ate a little of the toast, and then I pretended to put jam on it and everything. That's so fun that I get to do that. You don't know how much joy that gives me, pretending to open a jar of jam. Oh, I got something to confess to you. So, that's my grandmother's jam. It is, right here. But guess what it really is? It's an empty sliced jalapeno jar. So every time I open it, it's just overwhelming jalapeno smell, and so it was hard to get into character and pretend it was jam, but I just thought I'd give you some tips in case you wanted to have a radio show. So, yeah, I made my audition tape, and it's just a lot of that, and they go, no, that's all right, we have a jar opener. That's me, little jar opener me. Oh, I hope you like the show. Why? Because I want to be liked. Why? Because it makes me feel more worth as a person. So you think you have to be, oh, you got, don't talk me into a corner. I can't defend myself. I'm weak. I'm weak. I had to explain what I do to somebody. I went to a dinner, and the person next to me says, "said what do you do?" Like that. They were from Russia. I know that wasn't a Russian accent. I can't do a Russian accent. I'm going to try. It's going to sound offensive. I try not to do accents too much because I don't want to, I don't want to sound, like I'm making fun of somebody. Or I don't know. It's the older I get, I don't think it's too cool. I used to do it, and now I'm thinking, but you can't go back in time. If you want to grow as a person, you want to get better and you want to get less stupid, you've got to come to terms with the fact that the now you is going to be future stupid you. You can stop learning or growing and say, I'm all right now, I'm perfect right now. But if you really want to become a better person, you must face the fact that the person you are now is going to be sort of stupider or crueler or something than the future you. And that's hard to take sometimes, But that's why I try to a little bit of mixture of forgetting and remembering. I try not to remember everything. I love memories, but some of them I just let go, too. Some of them I have to let go. Some of them I keep, but I've just got to cull. It's like your possessions. I got to cull. I can't take everything. So some of the memories I leave behind, too. And I love memory. I love it. I love thinking about how the brain works, and I'm sure it's in there somewhere, haunting me, calling me. It's me, Hardy. That time where you failed and let people down. I can't get over my live appearance in New Jersey this last time. I cannot get over it. It's haunting me. Because I talked about my friend that I lost, right? And I'm so together emotionally that afterwards I started to cry, right? After the show was over, I went behind the stage. I thought I was going to come back out and talk to people. I started to cry. Then I couldn't stop. One of those things. And then by the time I went out, and I know people are going, oh, screw him then. And I'm sure I disappointed a lot of people. By the time I went out, everybody was gone. Everybody was gone. Except one friend I met, I don't want to say his name. You know who you are. We got to talk. It was wonderful. Somebody stuck around, but everybody else had left. And I can't get over the regret, And I think I've learned something from it, which is don't cry or have feelings. And then I thought, maybe the show wasn't as funny or as clever as it could be. And I'm having to let go of that feeling. And now, how are you doing it? Well, I've been trying to hit myself over the head in just the right spot to do it until I chase it away. But I think I'm going to let that show go. I was going to broadcast it, but I think I'm not. I think I'm going to let it go away. I think not everything has to be preserved. Not everything has to be preserved like jam. Not everything has to be sold like jam, preserved and sold and labeled. Not everything has to be lose grandma's jam. I guess that's what I'm saying. You are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, where things are happening soon, and online at WFMU.org, where you can get all the archives and everything, everybody's archives. You can listen to all my shows from the past 5 years. You can listen to anybody's shows. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And you can also write me. You can write me a little email, and I'll try to answer you within a month. Why? You have so much mail, it takes you a month? No, I just overthink things. So I'll reread your mail for weeks before I answer you. And then my answer will be, hey, I'm reading your mail. I promise I'll write you back. I know, because I get so self-conscious I'm going to write something dumb. But do it anyway. Do it anyway. Just a message in the bottle. And if I respond, it'll be, there you go. It'll be a miracle. But it doesn't mean I don't appreciate it and love you. Thank you so much for listening. And hopefully we will be together again next week.
Everywhere I go, always never stop and look back over my life. See, I remember a long time ago. Sick bed, I'm getting ready and going home. And she called me by bedside. Grabbed me by my hand. Son, she said, just remember that I'm dead and proud. And she said, the only way you're gonna make it is not to treat your nails right. Not to love everybody. She said, and have another thing. Say, have another thing. Say, you got to be holy. Say, you got to be holy. Lord, have mercy. And that's why, as I remember, she always liked to sing this song. Lord, that I've got just a little while to stay. Come on, boys, I got you.
The Friendly Seven of Cleveland, Ohio, they had a talk with Jesus, and he made everything all right. And they felt so strongly about it, they wrote a song about it, and they recorded it. Originally on the BOS record label out of Cleveland, and on that King Bullard version LP on Numero from the Numero Pentecostal Holiness Church, where Jesus is Numero One. And right before that, we heard the Sensational Spiritual Heirs. All spiritual heirs are sensational, are they not? Then I'll See Jesus on the ARC record label, probably around 1973 or so. That's what was going on there. Two great gospel records getting us underway this evening on Sinner's Crossroads on WFMU. If you can hear the sound of my voice, I can say thank you for tuning in to Sinner's Crossroads gospel broadcast. My name is Kevin Nutt. Stay tuned for the next 50 minutes. Some wonderful gospel music lined up for you this evening. We have our church bulletin.